Hello, welcome to Refreshing Truth, the weekly podcast for River of Life Lutheran Church here in Goodyear, Arizona. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht, and God's word for our consideration on this, the second Sunday of Advent, is from Isaiah chapter 40. I'll begin reading in verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low, the rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall. But the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. This is the word of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from your sovereign Lord and God. Amen. San Francisco can be the cleanest, safest, most beautiful, and incredible city in the world instantly. That might sound like a crazy claim, the kind of thing that someone might say if they haven't been to or even heard anything about San Francisco recently. San Francisco can be the cleanest, safest, most beautiful, and incredible city in the world instantly. You might suspect that this is some wild claim made by a politician with aspirations outside of the state of California. But it's not. It's the claim of Mark Benioff, the CEO and chairman of one of the most valuable companies in the world that happens to call San Francisco home. To the best of my knowledge, he doesn't have political aspirations. And he does know San Francisco well. His company is headquartered there. He grew up there. His parents and his grandparents lived there too. You could argue he's a little partial, but he's not ignorant of the city's problems. Now, maybe the cleanest, safest, and most beautiful and incredible city in the world is a bit far-fetched, but Benioff caught a glimpse of what is possible for San Francisco. Each year, his company hosts the world's largest tech conference. This year, he threatened that it would be the last time that he would hold it in San Francisco if they didn't address the issues plaguing the city. Cages were rattled. And San Francisco responded. Public spaces were cleaned up, new coats of paint were applied, repairs were made, and at least for a week, the homelessness and drug issues were addressed in some way. Benioff's city looked the way he hoped it could once again. That was back in September of this year. Then last month, San Francisco played host to an important economic forum, the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation. Foreign leaders and dignitaries, executives from enormous companies came to town. And again, the public spaces were cleaned. There were more new coats of paint applied and additional repairs were made. And at least for a week, again, the drug and homelessness issues that had been plaguing the cities were removed from view. Twice in a matter of 2.5 months, the city went to great lengths to clean itself up because they knew something big was coming to town. Someone important was coming to visit. Now the question is, can they keep it that way? Now, whether you have a soft spot for San Francisco like Mark Benioff or you scorn the city as has become so popular, I think just about everybody agrees that San Francisco has a number of problems to address and a lot of work to do. And I suppose you could say, well, that's not my problem. It's not my work to do. And I guess that's true. But that's not the good news you think it is. Unfortunately, the problem that you do have to deal with, the work that must be done for you, is even more daunting. You see, in Isaiah chapter 40, your God speaks of an intimidating project. He says, "In the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Raise up every valley. Make every mountain and hill low. Level the rough ground. Smooth out the rugged places." Now, if God were just simply speaking about a physical, civil engineering project, this would still be arduous and exhausting. It would take a lot of equipment and expertise that none of us have on our own. It would be a big deal. Daunting. But God is actually talking about something bigger, something far more daunting, because something big is happening. Someone important and powerful is visiting. It's not a tech conference or some foreign dignitaries or high-powered executives. It's the triune God who's coming, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who will judge the living and the dead. That's the way that must be prepared. So it's not about cleaning up streets or even making new ones. It's about cleansing hearts from sin and making sinners into new, holy people. We might wonder, why do we need to be cleansed? Why do we need to be made new? Well, God tells us that too. He says, all people are like grass. Their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall. This is the message that God tells the voice to cry out. Do you understand why? You see, God wants us to see two key things about ourselves. That we are, first of all, mortal. We are frail, fragile. We will not stand the test of time, nor will our accomplishments. We will all wither and die. But it's more than that. Our faithfulness fails too. In our best moments, we may do the right things. We may look as beautiful as a flower, but it will not last. We may love our neighbor for a time, but only so long as he or she seems to deserve it or it makes us feel good. We may praise God when the blessings are numerous, but it won't last. We will grumble and complain when challenges come our way. We may tell the truth and give generously when things are going right, but it won't last. Not when it requires us to sacrifice something too important. Our faithfulness, our love, doesn't last. Our faithfulness to our God and His way of righteousness is not evergreen. It doesn't take us long to forget that everything we have, whether it's our time, our talents, or our treasures, are gifts earmarked for us from above. It doesn't take long before we find ourselves wishing and even committing evil upon our neighbor, whether they are complete strangers or even people we once claimed to love. It doesn't take long before our praises to God turn into curses. And it doesn't take long before we fall into old habits of deceitfulness and selfishness. Our faithfulness falls flat. Our love doesn't last. Now, it's hard for us to see that from close up, but we do recognize it from afar. To help us see that, I want us to shift back to where we began, to the city of San Francisco. You've no doubt heard about the cleaning projects that have been going on in the city. You think it's going to last? Do you think it's going to improve? Do you think the city of San Francisco will become the cleanest, safest, most beautiful, and incredible city in the world? Even if you don't think that can happen instantly, I doubt many of us would say that it will happen for sure with any degree of confidence. Because we have seen the charade play out a time or two in other places. Some big city makes a big effort to clean up its image and its streets to host some big event. Maybe it's not a tech conference or APEC. Maybe it's just the Olympics. The city pours countless dollars into doing things right, but then the event comes and goes and things go back to the way they always were. Or maybe even worse than they were before. And though we might like to think this is not just a San Francisco problem. It's a people problem. Sometimes we do the same thing with our homes. We certainly do the same thing with our spiritual temples, our bodies, our hearts, our minds, and our lives. So why should we think this time would be any different? Why should we think this time it's going to last? Well, there's good news here for us in Isaiah chapter 40. God tells us it's not us doing the cleaning. It's someone more powerful and wise than any tech chairman. It's somebody who loves us more than even Mark Benioff loves the city of San Francisco. It's the Sovereign Lord who has spoken and also given us comfort. He is the one who is working this enormous spiritual engineering project. He's the one raising up the valleys and flattening the mountains and the hills in our hearts and our lives. So how does God do this? It is through his everlasting and enduring word. It is through the word that we hear of and receive tangible comfort and peace that last. Our Lord speaks to us tenderly. He proclaims to us that he has paid for our sins, that more than that, we have received double for all our sins. The mercy of our Maker, the grace of our God. We have received mercy from our Maker. You see, God recognizes exactly how this world was when he was done making it. And he knows what mankind has done to it. He knows what sin has done to us, what it is doing to us now, and what it will do to us for eternity without his intervention. So he warns us, the wages of sin, of our sin, is misery and death, it's suffering and condemnation. The wages of our sin is to be banished to suffer in a place far more abysmal than the worst spot in San Francisco on its worst day, with no hope of it ever getting better or even coming to an end. That is the existence that sinful people chose. And every time we rebel against God's law, that is what we are saying we want. Now, God could have just let us have it and have that kind of eternity. But our merciful Maker wouldn't have that. Even though we are faithless, God remains faithful. Even though we are foolish, God responds with wisdom. Even when our love for God and our fellow man runs cold, God remains love. So you see, at just the right moment, while we were still powerless and ungodly, the sovereign God, the sovereign Lord, came with power. Not to strike us down, but to pick us up. Our sovereign Lord has gathered frail lambs in his arms. He carries the broken and the brokenhearted close to his heart. He doesn't drive us with threats of condemnation if we don't do more or do better. Rather, he gently leads us and guides us, knowing that we don't have the wisdom or the strength to find our way to him, to the quiet waters and lush fields we need. Our Maker deals with us with great mercy. His mercy is revealed as he made himself our servant and our substitute. You see, the sovereign Lord our God came into this world and chose to make himself powerless. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, he had no beauty, no majesty, no connections, and contrary to popular myths, he didn't do miraculous tricks as a young man. In fact, whenever Jesus did do a miracle, it was an expression of mercy to sinners. He wanted them to see God's power and love. He wanted them to get a taste of heaven's eternal comfort and peace. But in order to give sinners like us more than just a taste of eternal comfort and peace, Jesus had to taste death in our place. In order to pay for our sins, he had to transfer them to his account. And this wasn't some divine accounting wizardry either. This was real pain. Tangible suffering, excruciating isolation from his Father, the torments of hell. God, our God, experienced all this for us to bring us comfort. You see, our sovereign Lord, when he says, "Comfort, comfort my people," he's not merely saying, "They're there," in the kind of empty way that people sometimes do when they see somebody who's hurting because they've made poor choices, but they still pity them in some way. Now, our sovereign Lord did the thing that any parent wishes they could do when they see their own child suffering. He took our place. He made our pain his own. He took up our shame. He bore our sufferings. He was wounded all so that we might be healed. This is God's marvelous mercy. But it's not all. We have received double from the Lord's hand. He has also given us his grace. His undeserved, unconditional, unearned, and unending love. He continues to love us even as we let him down. He continues to care for us even as we speak carelessly. He continues to abide by us even as we cannot always abide by his law. He does this because he loves us. He tends to us like a shepherd. He knows our names and our fears. He knows our weaknesses and our needs, and he comforts us. And he has given us a token of his everlasting comfort and peace in our baptisms. Through water and word, God has worked a remarkable transformation. He has leveled the mountains and hills of our pride. He has raised up the valleys of our shame and guilt. God has worked a remarkable transformation. And it was instantaneous. In our baptisms, he cleansed us of our sins of our past, our present, and even our future. In our baptisms, he placed us safely within in his arms. In our baptism, he made us his new people, not merely giving us a fresh coat of paint, but giving us an outpouring of his Spirit, the gift of faith. Now we know that our God is our most beautiful Savior, and we have the incredible privilege of receiving mercy and grace from our God. Comfort. Comfort. Amen. Thank you once again for listening to our weekly podcast, Refreshing Truth. My name is Pastor Lincoln Albrecht. It's been a pleasure and a privilege to proclaim to you the good news that God has brought comfort to our world and to our lives. If you'd like to learn more about this comfort, I invite you to visit our website at azriveroflife.com. There you'll find opportunities to connect with us personally, an invite to join us for worship, and an opportunity to listen to past episodes of this podcast so that your faith in your sovereign Lord might be strengthened. May God continue to bless and keep you this season. Until next time.